Good morning, Peninsula Hope Church family. I hope you guys are doing well. Today we're going to be finishing up our series on the biblical truths of God. And I want to welcome, if we have any first-time visitors, we love that you're here watching us today. Let me open us up in some prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you. We serve you. Lord, we pray for more of your Holy Spirit, Lord. In a time, Lord, in this time that we're going through, Lord, with the pandemic, with so many things going on, Lord, we need more of you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would guide my words today, Lord, as we take a look at what it means to forgive, what it means that, Lord, you forgive us, Lord Jesus. We pray for people everywhere, Lord Jesus. We lift them up to you, Lord, and we pray this in your name. Amen. As I mentioned, today we're going to be finishing up our sermon series on biblical truths of God. And I want to start by reading something I read in an article recently talking about forgiveness. It says, psychologists generally define forgiveness as a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve forgiveness. Just as important as defining what forgiveness is, though, is understanding what forgiveness is not. Experts who study or teach forgiveness make clear that when you forgive, you do not gloss over or deny the seriousness of an offense against you. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting, nor does it mean condoning or excusing offenses. Though forgiveness can help repair a damaged relationship, it doesn't obligate you to reconcile with that person who harmed you or release them from legal accountability. I think when most people think of forgiveness, this is how they operate, or this is the lens that they see forgiveness in. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think there's a lot that we can gain from this. But as we take a look at what it means, that biblical truth that God forgives, I think we'll get a little bit of a different perspective. And I think it's important that we understand that, especially because our faith is based on God's forgiveness for our sins. The Greek word for forgiveness is aphiemi, and it means to send something away, to let go of something, or to remit. It expresses this idea of separation or detachment from a previous location or condition. So regarding God, forgiveness means God is letting go or removing the obligation that we owe him because of sin against his holiness. He is releasing us from the guilt or penalty of the debt of our sins as one would a financial debt. So when God forgives us, he's letting go even though he has that right because he hates sin. We don't have this debt to pay anymore. Now, it's important to understand that there are two types of forgiveness. There is an eternal forgiveness, and there is also a relational, or what I'll call a daily forgiveness. So let's start by taking a look at the eternal forgiveness. In the Old Testament, for those of you that are familiar with the Old Testament, or for you that aren't, this will be something that you're hearing for the first time. When a law was broken, when someone sinned against God, an atonement was necessary because God hates sin, and that's something that we learned a few weeks ago. And the atonement, or the price that needed to be paid for the offense against God, was a blood sacrifice. And so when an appropriate sacrifice was made, God would forgive the sin. Leviticus 17, verse 11 in the NIV says, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make an atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." So the blood is key. That was the debt, or that was the price that had to be paid for people's sins, for their offenses against God and God's law. However, animal sacrifices, they had a limited effect, and so people had to continuously go to the temple. This process was repeated, or people would sin, and then they would find this appropriate sacrifice, and a sacrifice would be made for their sins so they could atone for their sins. And so because this process had to be repeated, it really wasn't a once and for all atonement for all of humankind's sins. That's why Jesus' sacrifice through his death on the cross, why it was necessary and why it's so significant, because Jesus was the once and for all atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 2 verses 1 through 2 in the NIV says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." So through Jesus' death on the cross and the shedding of his blood, humankind's past, present, and future sins were atoned for. They were forgiven. And what this means is, one, we've been justified. And justification is an act where God declares us innocent of our sins. Now, it's important to understand this doesn't mean that we are sinless. It means that God views us through the lens of Jesus' sacrifice. And as I was thinking of an illustration, I thought of the comment that people make, "Hey, we need to take one for the team." And when you're saying that, you're like, is there someone out there that is willing to step up and take the blame, even though they had nothing to do with this? And their blame, they're going to take the punishment or get the consequence for the entire team. And that's what Jesus did. He took on the sins of the world. He became sin. He became that which God hates for all of us. But he was sinless. So he absolutely took one for the team, even though he didn't need to. And he did that because he loves us. The second thing that this means, that God has forgiven us in the eternal sense, is that our guilt has been removed. Hebrews 9:14 in the NIV says, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit often offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God?" So our consciences have been cleansed. We don't have to feel guilty because of the blood of Christ. So our guilt has been removed. Also, our relationship with God has been reconciled. In the past, we've talked about how Scripture tells us that before we were saved, we were enemies with God. There was a brokenness. And that relationship has now been reconciled because we have been forgiven because of Jesus' sacrifice for us. And the final thing is that we experience salvation and eternal life in heaven. Now, that is an incredible biblical truth, and that reality that God forgives, it's such a blessing to all of us. But if God forgives and Jesus atoned for our past and present and future sins, why does the Bible tell us to confess and repent of our sins? Now, this is where the second type of forgiveness comes in that we experience from God. This is the relational or daily forgiveness of sins. You see, when you are in relationship with God, when you are a Christian, you have this incredible relationship, and it's just like relationships that people have. John 1, verses 12 through 13 in the NIV says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." So when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you're forgiven for your sins, you become a child of God. You are in a relationship with him. So we, in our daily lives, when we sin, we're affecting our relationship that we have with God. And just like relationships that we have with other people, there are some characteristics or traits of a healthy relationship with God. Things like spending time together. You spend time with your friends and family. We need to spend time with God, and we do that through prayer. We do that when we're in worship. We do that when we're reading the Bible. We also get to know someone's likes and dislikes. We need to know the things that God likes, the things that He hates, the things that He loves. We know, we learned several weeks ago, God is love. We also learned that God hates sin. And these are important things to understand, just like they are with relationships with people. Some other characteristics or traits are trust, honesty, commitment, and faithfulness. Now, when any of these characteristics or traits of a healthy relationship do not take place, confession and repentance need to. And if you recall from a few weeks ago, confession is acknowledging the sin. It's that negative behavior. We have to confess it. We have to agree with God and say, this was sin in my life, and I am agreeing with you that it is wrong. And then we also need to repent. And what repentance is, it's first changing your thinking about that behavior or that sin. You need to change the way you think about it. You need to also hate it. And then you need to turn away from it. So it's changing your thinking and it's changing your behavior. And if both of those things, both the confession and also the repentance, if those are heartfelt, if you truly mean it in your heart, then forgiveness takes place. However, just like relationships with people, if the confession, the acknowledging of the wrong that was done, and the repentance, so that is the changing your thinking and again turning from that, doing something different, if both of those things toward God are not truly heartfelt, then God doesn't have to forgive us. Again, if when you're confessing your sins, if you're repenting and trying to change them, if they're not heartfelt, if you don't feel it in your heart, you're just saying it, it's just talk. God does not need to forgive you and me. And we're the ones that suffer for that. John 9, verse 31, the NIV, it says this: we know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does His will. God does not listen to sinners. That's why you have to have that heart change. We all sin, but these are people that don't acknowledge it, people that don't understand it in their heart. Proverbs 28, verse 9 in the NIV. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. So think about that. God wants our obedience. He wants us to follow the way the Bible tells us to live. And when you don't listen to that, when you defy it, even your prayers can be detestable to God. That's pretty scary. That scares me, and it really motivates me to try to want to be more obedient, to follow God, to understand Him more. And when I sin, I want that heartfelt change. And then finally, Isaiah 59, verse 2 in the NIV, it says, but your iniquities, so those deep, deep ingrained sins, have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. Again, this is a scary reality that when we don't repent, when we don't confess and repent, and it's heartfelt, that God doesn't need to forgive us of our daily sins. And this is how it's affected, is He may not listen to our prayers. They may be detestable to Him. So when you look at relational forgiveness, it's all about the health of our relationship with God. So the eternal forgiveness of sins, that's about salvation. That's about going to heaven. But when that happens, now we're talking about relational forgiveness. This is our relationship with God. And so if you have a sin and you haven't asked God to forgive you, you haven't repented of it, it doesn't mean that's affecting your going to heaven. It doesn't affect your salvation. What it means, though, is that it may be inhibiting your prayer. So your life here on earth now, there may be a lot more challenges because God's not hearing you, because you don't have heartfelt repentance. You don't have heartfelt confession. And so I wanted to express that because it's really important to understand the difference, again, between eternal forgiveness of sins and relational. Now, are there any conditions to receive God's forgiveness, either one of these? Well, eternal forgiveness of sins there absolutely is. We need to believe in God. That is the condition that has to take place. And as we've talked about over the past several months, believing in God means believing in the truth of who God is, what Jesus did on the cross, and why we needed him to do it. So that's more of a head kind of process. But then it's also trusting God with every aspect of our lives. And that's a heart aspect. And so it's got to be a head and a heart thing when it comes to true belief in God. And that's how we experience eternal forgiveness of sins. Now, as far as the relational or daily forgiveness of sins, there has to be, again, that heartfelt confession and repentance. 1 John 1:9 in the NIV says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." But again, it has to be heartfelt. You have to mean it, just like relationships with other people. People can tell when you're not being honest, when you're being fake. The crazy thing, though, is with God, he sees right to our hearts. So he absolutely knows what we're thinking and what our motivations are. And then the second condition, or the second thing we need to do, we need to forgive others. Matthew 6, verse 14 through 15 in the NIV says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So we need to forgive others. That is another one of the conditions. Because if we're not forgiving others, then God won't forgive us of our daily sins. And again, it's a representation, or it shows a condition of the relationship that we have with God. Now, the final thing I want to talk about today is, why is this biblical truth that God forgives? Why is it important? Well, one, God's forgiveness is the only way that we can experience salvation and eternal life in heaven. The next thing is that we no longer have to fear the eternal consequences of sin. And the ultimate consequence is found in Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And the final thing of why this truth is so important is it gives us the model for how we live in relationship with others. Earlier I said that, you know, the way that psychologists, the way that the world views forgiveness is one way. Well, with God's, we don't remember anything. We're separating ourselves from that. Even though we can be angry with people, we can hold a grudge against them, or so we're letting go of all of that. And this is not an easy thing to do. It takes time. It takes the Holy Spirit. It takes maturity. And so I want to leave you with this challenge, that the next time you are angry, the next time you're frustrated or annoyed with someone, and I think all of those things, we experience all of them, think of Jesus on the cross. So the second you're frustrated, you're angry, you're perturbed with someone, think of Jesus on the cross for you. And remember that although Jesus has more reasons and a literal right to be angry, frustrated, and annoyed with all of us, he set that right aside. He let it go, and he died for us, which allowed us to experience forgiveness. So I'm going to ask you guys to pray that God would convict you through his Holy Spirit, that he would convict you on this, that the second you're feeling angry or frustrated towards someone else, that you would immediately have your mind go to Jesus on the cross. And that in that prayer, say, "Lord Jesus, hold me accountable. Holy Spirit, convict me of this, and hold me accountable to forgiving others because you forgave me." Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, thank you so much for your forgiveness. And I pray, Lord, for all of us, that through your Holy Spirit, you would convict us, Lord, that the second that we feel angry or annoyed or frustrated with someone, Lord, that our minds, that we would have this visual, this image in our brains, Lord, of you on the cross and your suffering for us. And I pray through that, Lord, that we would be convicted to let things go, to forgive others. Lord Jesus, we pray for more of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we need you in our lives in such an incredible way. Lord, we love you. We serve you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Hey guys, we love you. We hope you guys can join us on Zoom, where we're going to talk about some of the ways that we can grow in our forgiveness for others. See you soon. God bless.